We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's up, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I'm here with my man, Eric Sue. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who have not heard of you, man?
Yeah, totally. And thanks for having me. So my name is Eric Sue, and I help level up the world through marketing. And have a couple of marketing businesses. And other than that, have a podcast called Leveling Up, another one called Marketing School, and have a book coming out called Leveling Up as well. So that's a short answer.
Awesome, man. Well, can we dive into the backstory and like what got you to doing all these different things?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it kind of goes into the book a little bit, but I used to do esports before it became a thing. So I used to play a lot of games growing up. And, you know, I'd wake up every day super excited. And I was just like, man, I hope this excitement never ends. Like, this is what I want to be doing in quote unquote real life. And so, you know, I would try a lot of different games. I'd try a lot of different things and I'd learn a lot at the same time. So I think that's kind of what, you know, kept me hungry and wanting to always try new things. I was always trying to learn. And then I was always trying to just continue to get better and better. Cause that was the only thing I was good at. You know, that was the only community I had, the only kind of, you know, friends and family I had. I mean, you know, I still have my family, but they never really acknowledged, you know, kind of all the work I was putting into games. So I, you know, doubled and tripled down on all the time I was spending there. So, you know, I kind of floundered around. I mean, I almost dropped out of high school because I didn't want to go to this required course my senior year. So it was kind of a technicality and I almost got kicked out. Almost got kicked out of college as well. My first year, I just wanted to play World of Warcraft and poker. So, you know, I think I had like 6 withdrawals and 2 Fs or something like that. And then my credit score dropped to 480 when I was like 19 years old, you know, trying to withdraw too much money to play poker. And yeah, I was fired twice. So, you know, I was floundering around and just trying to find my way. Luckily enough, you know, the only job I could get coming out of college was a data entry job. And, you know, that's when I discovered, you know, online marketing. My friend who now works at Airbnb, she's like, you should check this out. And so through online marketing, I learned SEO first. I learned all these different things. But point is, I just continued to try to expand, you know. So even though I knew SEO, I was like, okay, what's next? Paid media. What's next? Email marketing, right? What's after that? Learning how to manage people. What's after that? Okay, learning how to run a company. Okay, what's after that? Learning how to invest, right? So, you know, for me, it's just constantly learning. And then now it's articulating my thoughts. And that's what's led to my entire thesis now is just continuing to, you know, again, my mission is to level up the world through marketing. And I'm just going to buy other marketing businesses and build my audience. And then that's just going to continue to grow. And then through that, I'm going to have enough resources to make the impact that I want. So that answer is a little more long-winded for you.
Beautiful, man. I love that. So really, it just comes down to the impact and wanting to see people level up.
Correct.
Awesome, man. So I was a gamer myself, and I grew up with a lot of the gamer kids, and I know that kind of a shared characteristic is that most of us didn't have that much confidence. So how did you go from like just being that kid that was just in the games all the time to being confident enough to jump on all these podcasts and do everything that you do now?
Yeah, I can certainly appreciate that question. And, you know, I think even when I was 11 or 12 years old, I was playing this game called EverQuest, which is the precursor to World of Warcraft. I was playing with teams. So the team I was on, we had people that were lawyers, people that were like wealthy people that owned jets, and, you know, college people. And so people that were significantly, you know, older than me. And, you know, I gained a lot of confidence because I kept, you know, repeating I kept, you know, training every single day where they acknowledged me and they wanted me to join their guild, right? So that gave me a ton of confidence. And then every day I just continued to refine because I was part of a high performance team. You know, when you're in real life, when you're held to certain standards, you know, you better live up to it or else you're going to get kicked off the team. And so through that, I learned that it's really important to continue to find the best teams, and they're going to push you, they're going to hold you accountable, and you're going to get better that way. And so, you know, when it comes to, you know, real life or business as an example, I mean, I failed my way forward and I took over my agency. You know, it might seem like an amazing thing where I bought it for $2, but, and you know, after the first year, we lost basically everyone. We dropped all the way down to one employee after I took it over. And, you know, I just learned through, sure, it's really important to read. I read a lot, but failing forward. And so it's a lot of repetition. And then after a while, you just become numb to the pain. And, you know, I can credit my numbness to pain really through poker. If I didn't play poker in my early 20s, I wouldn't have learned how to, you know, get through the kind of ups and downs and, you know, learn how to think long-term. So I think pain is kind of a prerequisite. You know, as long as you're repeating things, you're learning, and then you're going through pain and you're building kind of the scar tissue. That's what gives you the confidence.
Beautiful, man. So after working with so many clients and becoming the authority that you are at this point, what, in your opinion, what are the things that a new entrepreneur needs to be focused on in order to establish that brand, start building their audience, and just actually start getting clients off social media?
Yeah. So I think if you're trying to get clients anywhere, I mean, starting out in the early days, it's really easy to look at what everyone else is doing, to compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 25. They might be doing all these channels. You compare yourself to Gary V. He's got an entire brand team, 30 plus people helping him with TikTok, helping him with Snap and Twitter, all these different things, right? And, you know, people get overwhelmed and they start to think, oh, they need to start that, doing that many things at the same time. The problem with that is, you know, if you think of success like a sphere, right? Like a circle, you're going to, success is on all the edges of the circle. You start in the middle. All you have to do is reach one of the edges. The problem with most people is they try to do too many things in the beginning. So they can't, you know, and they get pulled in all these different directions and they can never reach success at the edge. And so if I were to go back to my 20-year-old self, I would say, hey, like, just focus on one thing. Get it going first before you start trying to do other stuff. That goes for trying to build a brand. That goes for trying to build a business, because what typically happens is it takes about 2 to 3 years to start to see a brand work or a business work, right? It's already enough hard work right there. Why do you want to split your attention more? And by the way, that's exactly what I did. Would I go back in time and do the same thing? Absolutely not. Do I regret it now? No. But I'm going to tell you, you know, for my first podcast, Leveling Up, after the first year, I was only getting 9 downloads a day. I'm spending 6 hours a week on it. After the second year, I was only getting 30 downloads a day and I was still spending 6 hours a week on it while I was trying to save single grain, my ad agency. So you can imagine, you know, all those things compounding on top of me. You know, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if your work ethic is above everyone else's, you're still only one person. So I think, you know, the macro level thing here is, you know, beyond the focus, thinking in decades, right? So I have this turtle in front of me that I look at every day. It just reminds me to slow down and to understand that, sure, I can have urgency in the micro, but, you know, in the long term, just thinking about how important it is to think in decades and not think in years, because you get a lot more done in a decade than you think you can.
Absolutely, man. And I think people really try to like forget that, especially in the entrepreneur space. We live in a world where people just want that instant gratification, because in reality, you can get that out of most things, but the majority of the time, you're not going to get instant gratification out of a business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a reframe. I think it's important to think about delayed gratification as the thing to be aiming for. Human beings are too used to instant gratification. So, you know, can you zig where other people are zagging? So everyone wants instant. Why don't you go for delayed? And when you think delayed gratification, when you look at investing, or, you know, investing, whether it's in your own business or investing in collectibles, whatever it is exactly, it's a lot less pressure. And you just, you know, you just kind of let it sit there, right? And if you think about Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, I mean, historically, what they've said is, like, you know, when they think about how well they've done, it's really only a handful of stocks. And it's just because, you know, they stayed in the market. And historically, what they've always tried to do is focus on buying and holding. And so when you think about, you know, the things that you're doing, can you think again with a long-term mindset and buying and holding, that's going to put you above 99% of most people.
Absolutely, man. So at this point, what would you say is your favorite platform or the platform that you're putting the most focus on right now?
Probably the easiest one is Clubhouse. I'm spending 20 to 30 hours a week on it. And, you know, it's the social, it's the audio social app, and it's been great. I mean, yesterday I did a room and we went for 3 hours. The time just flew by. Last week I did it for 4.5 hours. But yeah, yesterday I just threw a room up and then, you know, 600 people joined, and yeah, it was a great conversation.
Awesome, man. So I do got to ask, there's been a lot of talk lately about how the heck are these people that run these successful businesses able to spend so much time on Clubhouse, and all these influencers that I've been talking to, like the most successful people that I've spoken with lately are spending hours of time on there. So I'd love to just hear about how you're able to make that time and all of that. I imagine it's support from a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly that. A lot of these people that you're seeing in the app, whether it's Kevin O'Leary or seeing Damon John, or, you know, these are the sharks from Shark Tank, and even Kevin Harrington, one of the original sharks, a lot of these people are hanging out. Grant Cardone's hanging out in the app. And then just yesterday, or actually, you know, earlier in the week, you have Elon Musk, right? They have teams. And so when you think about what's important, you know, at the end of the day, it's all people and it's all relationships. And so for each and every day right now, I'm meeting at least 1 to 3 amazing people. And, you know, we're taking those conversations deeper, and that's worth its weight in gold. It's basically networking at scale. Again, your network is your net worth. So, you know, why would you not do that? And so who knows how much longer the organic reach is going to last. I think that, you know, the party's going on right now, so making the most of it. That's how these social platforms are typically. And so, yeah, I mean, I know one guy, I mean, he's in it basically, I think he's in it probably 12, 18 hours a day or something like that. But he has two of his assistants in the room, and he has his business partners in the room. He's completely dedicated to it. He's, you know, his kids' calendar is cleared right now, and he's just focused on Clubhouse. So,
wow. If people are willing to clear their calendars to go spend on Clubhouse, then all these people that are talking the mess about Clubhouse must be missing out on something, huh?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm doing a chat tomorrow with a guy who founded Activision, and he founded Acclaim, and now he has a company called Start Engine. But we're talking tomorrow. And my tax strategist, I mean, we've done a couple rooms as well, right? These people are typically not that accessible, but, you know, they're texting me right now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Right? These are super successful people. So, I mean, you know, if they see, look, there's something magical about this format. I don't know if it's going to be Clubhouse that stays around for the long time, the long term. But, you know, I think it's still a very good time to get into it.
100%, man. So let's dive into what a lot of people are going to know you for, and that's podcasting. Like, what has the power of being involved in podcasting been on your business?
It's huge. I mean, you know, audio at the end of the day, like what you're doing, people that listen to you all the time, they like you, you know, they like the questions that you ask. They start to get to know you a little bit. They like the guests that you're bringing on. It is building relationships, again, at scale. So whether it's, you know, Clubhouse or whether it's podcasting, I think audio does get you a lot closer to someone, and people understand your voice. And, you know, I've, you know, met some of my best friends just from, you know, podcasting. I've been invited to speak at conferences, and the people that know me, if they want to work with, you know, one of my companies, what ends up happening is the sales cycle is a lot shorter, the lifetime value of the customer is a lot higher, and they become friends too. And so, you know, podcasting has been it's been a slow burn. Like the first 2 years were a struggle, but, you know, continue to do it. It's brought so many benefits, relationships at scale again. And, you know, right now, cumulatively, we're about 50 million downloads. But yeah, again, it took 2 to 3 years of struggle to start to build the audience.
Awesome, man. So what are some of the things that you wish that you would have understood about getting your initial downloads and actually building an audience on your show?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I were to start from scratch today, I probably wouldn't just do podcasts. I'd probably, you know, do a Zoom video chat and then throw it up on YouTube and then chop it up. And then, you know, try to let the YouTube algorithm work, you know, have a good headline, have a good thumbnail, and then try to let it grow that way. That's what I would do now, because podcasting, the discoverability is very hard. You know, the other thing I would say too is, when you are rolling out your podcast, I think, you know, especially in Apple, making sure that, you know, because our podcast is daily for marketing school, that we show 300 episodes at a time. Because then, you know, that leads to a lot more downloads. Before, we had a constraint to only show like 30 episodes at a time on the page. And now it shows everything. So, you know, people are clicking a lot more and they're binge listening a lot more and their downloads are going up quite a bit more. So those are just kind of two simple things.
Awesome, man. And I think the power of binging is one thing that people forget. Like, they put a show up and they started out with one episode and people go through that one episode, they spend 30, 45 minutes with them and then they forget about it. Whereas if you have a handful of episodes and you do it right, you give people something to binge and they actually have time to like you and really want to and resonate with you more and really want to hear more of you.
Right. 100%.
Awesome, man. Well, you've had the opportunity to be on podcasts with, get on shows with, and share stages with some absolutely incredible people. So I would love to hear about some of your networking strategies.
Yeah, I mean, for me, networking, I was always kind of adverse to it because I was like, I don't want to network. It sounds kind of slimy. But you know what I've learned, the core of networking is really just building relationships and being helpful. So if I don't know someone, I might go on Instagram or Twitter and then see what they're interested in. So you might be interested in the Green Bay Packers or something like that. So maybe, you know, what if I got you tickets to the Super Bowl or something like that? Or maybe I got you a signed Aaron Rodgers jersey, right? I'm going a little extreme right now, but that just means like kind of going, you know, into the social profiles, understanding what people are interested in, understanding their psyche and being helpful and not trying to ask for anything first. I think, you know, the whole concept of the whole, you know, Gary Vee's book, and I didn't read it, but I think the title is great. Jab, 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 right hook. You just keep giving. And, you know, every once in a while you come in with an ask, right? I think that's the way to approach relationships. It's just come from a place of value first. And even if, you know, you're listening right now, you're starting out from scratch, maybe you create a dream 100 or dream 50 people, a list of people that you want to work with. And then you find out, you know, you kind of say, hey, you know, I'm seeing these things that are wrong with your business right now. Here's how I would solve it. Do you want me to do it for you for free for a month? Right. So I think, you know, getting started with client services is one of the best ways to get started in business. And then what you can do is as it becomes more successful, you can take the cash flows from that business and go reinvest the money elsewhere into more durable or more exponential sources of revenue.
Awesome, man. I love that answer. So you've got an awesome software called ClickFlow. Can you tell us a little bit about what that does and like what people can use it to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, ClickFlow is probably more of a tool for content teams. So, you know, really we're targeting people that have, you know, companies that have teams of five or more that are on their content team. But, you know, at its essence, ClickFlow is SEO software that helps you grow your traffic while looking like a genius. That's our tagline. And what it basically does is when you're writing content, it'll tell you the keywords you should be adding to it based on what you're trying to optimize for. So now your writers don't need to know how to do SEO. And you know, they're adding in they're writing great content and they're adding in the right keywords. And that's going to help for the long term. It has a whole host of other features, but that's one of the primary features of ClickFlow. And the reason why we created that was because, you know, our audience is marketing focused and people do like tools. And it's very easy to start a conversation with a tool versus saying, come work with my agency or come work with, you know, whatever else I have.
Awesome, man. So I'm glad that you mentioned that the SEO benefits are one of the features that y'all focus on. I'd love to ask you, why do you think it is that so many people neglect SEO when it's really one of the most powerful traffic sources that you can have?
I mean, earlier we talked about instant gratification. People want instant gratification. They want the reach on TikTok. They want the reach on Reels or YouTube. You know, you get to see very quickly if it's working or not, right? And I think that's great. You know, SEO is basically delayed gratification. It takes time to compound. Most people don't want to wait. They don't have the patience for it. And it seems like it's this black box. But those people that do, the founders that I know that do understand SEO, it's such an unfair advantage because, you know, it continues to stack over time. And then whatever you publish tends to do well. And again, I mean, it's, you know, it's a fairly mature type of industry, but still it's, you know, people have very short-term tunnel vision, which again, gives the founders that understand SEO a big advantage.
I love it. So if you want to get your SEO better and you're a writer, go check out the ClickFlow software. get that going. It'll save your team. It'll save your team a ton of time. And let's talk about your new book you've got coming, man, Leveling Up.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, earlier I was talking about how I did esports before it started becoming bigger. And, you know, fundamentally, I just believe that gaming creates success. It creates leaders. And, you know, those people listening that might be rolling their eyes, if you think about it, if you played basketball, if you played football growing up, you learned a lot from it. You learn teamwork, you learn resilience, you learn communication, all that stuff. I learned that all from gaming. Not saying I don't love sports. I do love sports. But you know, gaming is a place where you can go into a world and you can train, and then you can bring those skills into real life, just like you can with sports. And just like with sports, you can overtrain. In the gaming world, you can overtrain too, overdo it. And then, you know, you can start to develop negative habits. But the book talks a lot about, you know, different power-ups that you can go out and collect in the world, because the world fundamentally, you know, what you're trying to do every single day is you're trying to get just a little better. And building the right habits, building the right mental models. You know, I talk about 15, you know, different ones in the book, but that's just a starting point. So I think it's really the book that I wish I had growing up. And now we have over 3 billion people in the world that have played games. They need to understand that, you know, the stigma towards gaming is going to go away eventually, and that they can make a really big impact on the world. And just keep in mind, again, I was the ultimate failure. I didn't realize that a lot of the stuff, the time I spent into games was actually really beneficial, right? So as an example, I type pretty fast. Like at my high speed, I'm about 144 words per minute. That all came from gaming, right? So that means I can work a lot faster too. So that's just one example, but decided to do the book to get that message out, more so than try to make money or anything like that.
Awesome, man. I love that. So what are a few of the power-ups that you really wish that you would have known about sooner?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, one is understanding that it's okay to copy. So people hold this sacred thought in their head that everything has to be original that they come up with. Now, if you think about Steve Jobs, you know, he once said that everything in life is a remix. And I'm looking at my mouse right here, this Apple mouse, they stole it from Xerox. The graphical user interface, the GUI, they stole it from Xerox. If you look at SpaceX, the rocket, the design is fundamentally the same as other rockets we've seen in the past, but they can come back to Earth, right? So really a lot of life is just, you know, what's the 10, 20, 30% iteration on things. And, you know, Picasso said, great artists steal. And so, you know, people are like, oh my God, but I'm not stealing. You know, I don't want to steal. I don't want to be a thief, things like that. Well, my chapter's on, you know, talking about getting used to that, right? Like drawing inspiration from everywhere, being a learner, and then iterating on top of things, building on the shoulders of giants, because that's really all we're doing. I think understanding the perspective too, that, you know, we're really just a blip in time. Like we don't really mean anything. Like we're going to be around for 80 to 100 years or so, maybe a little longer than that. And that's basically it. But we've been around for, you know, the Earth has been around for billions of years. Who knows how long the universe has been around for? I think we do know, but I don't have the number off the top of my head, but you know, that's what it is.
I love that, man. So before we start wrapping this up, is there anything that I didn't ask you about today that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, I think it's long-term thinking. You know, it's when I think about, we talked about delayed gratification. I'm looking at this Pokemon card on my table right now. I paid a couple thousand dollars for this thing and for a piece of cardboard. And so when you think about all the time you're going to put into, you know, your YouTube channel or your podcast or your business, whatever it is exactly, just understanding again to think in decades. And most people just can't do that. It's the long-term thinking is just it's an important reframe. And the more you can, you know, go around in life, you know, whether it's figuring out some of the power-ups from this book or, you know, going around and collecting more power-ups, just understanding that you're playing a marathon at the end of the day. And, it's the same thing with this book too. It is a marathon. I'm not trying to, you know, just have it around to be around for a year or 2 years or something like that. So.
Awesome, man. I love that. So what Pokemon card do you guys sitting on your table?
It's a Charizard. It's a 1997 Pocket Monsters Charizard. So it's a Japanese version.
Awesome, man. So what does that Charizard Pokemon card represent to you? Because it's got to be more than just a Pokemon card if you were willing to spend that kind of money on it.
I mean, honestly, no. I played a lot of, I mean, you know, in middle school, we all had Game Boys and we played Pokemon. So, I mean, there's sentimental value for sure. I think if you think about, you know, shoes or watches, that type of stuff, you know, maybe watches are worth it, but like a lot of the art that you see, a lot of the shoes going for $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 or so, collectibles mean stuff because, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so I certainly think these cards are going to appreciate in value.
Agreed, man. I love that answer. I like to ask stuff like that just because I feel like once you get to a certain point, everybody has different things that they like to spend their money on. But I feel like it kind of turns into like these amulets that people acquire that represent like the success that they've been able to achieve to them. So
totally. Curious.
Awesome, man. Well, what is the best way for people to see more of you and get involved with you?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to levelingup.com or you can go to your favorite online retailer to learn more about the book, or you could just follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Eric OSIU.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.